I'm an entrepreneur with a mission to share unique business journeys, workflow and client experience tips, and entrepreneurial advice through fun and easygoing conversations with pros and peers. I'm Cassie, and I'm your host. Let's grab drinks after work every Thursday as we banter and brainstorm. With a shot of business and a splash of pleasure, this is the Mastermind Mixer. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. Today I have Kelly McCracken with us. She and I met at the Escape Conference, and she was one of our hot seat presenters there. And as she was talking, I was like, we are the same person. we have the same struggles. We do like very similar things, but for different audiences. And so I'm going to pass it over to you, Kelly. Let's hear all the things.
Hi, Cassie. Thank you so much for having me on today. I totally agree. We met, like, hit it off at the conference, and I was like, yes, we need to talk more, especially about Dubsado and workflows. But yeah, so I'm Kelly McCracken. I work with wedding professionals currently, and I do blogging, Pinterest, and Dubsado services. I got started as a virtual assistant. Everyone sort of kept asking me for those same sort of services or same things that they needed. So I decided to start focusing on those services and sort of packaging those together. I usually have clients who are blogging Pinterest clients, and then I sort of have separate Dubsado clients, but sometimes they overlap as well. But, you know, always evolving kind of onto the next thing. But that's where I'm at currently right now.
So whenever you talk about like Dubsado and everything, I want to know how did you land on Dubsado? Was Dubsado the first, or did you evolve into that? Like, tell me how you got there.
Yeah. So when I got started as a virtual assistant, I took a course and they were saying you can use like HelloSign and then you can use QuickBooks to invoice. And they were talking about like all these different platforms. And I was just like, I already know I don't want that. I want everything to be in one system right off the bat. So then it sort of came down to like, do I want to use HoneyBook? Do I want to use Dubsado? And from the research I did, it seemed like in the long run, Dubsado was going to be more capable of doing more and more things versus HoneyBook. So I sat on my couch and I watched all of the videos and was literally like almost in tears sometimes trying to figure out how to make this system work, because this was like brand new to me. Trying to figure out what the heck projects meant, clients meant, all of the lingo and the language that just wasn't familiar to me. And then, you know, over time, it just became more and more natural, I guess, but not my first stop, I guess.
I was, so I'm a wedding photographer as well. And I went to a conference and Dubsado was there. Mm-hmm. They just had like a little booth in the back and you could sign up to win a free year, and I won it. And
that was
in my first year of business. So, and I had, I don't know if you, Caitlin James, like KJ, she's a huge educator in the wedding photography scene. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like with your clientele, you probably deal with a lot of people that know her. Yes. And she had been saying like, you need a CRM, you need a CRM. But I didn't even really know what that meant, but I knew I needed one, but like couldn't really afford it because I was new. Mm-hmm. So winning that 1 year of Dubsado, I like taught myself how to use it. And then I was like, why isn't everyone using this? Like it was back in, must have been like 2018 or 2019. So it was like, okay, I need to figure out like how to use a system that's like changing every day. And still now, like, mm-hmm. that's one thing that I really love about Dubsado, and I'd love to hear how you feel about it, is that like they're always, I just got an email that like they're beta testing an app, and I'm like, sign me up. Like, I've been waiting for the app. Like I always tell my clients like, start here, because they're evolving, and like, mm-hmm. it'll grow with you and you won't have to change systems. Like the other platforms, you know, 17 Hats, HoneyBook, I feel like when you outgrow them, like you outgrow them and you've got to move on. And I feel like with Dubsado, even if you outgrow them, if you stick with them for a little while, they catch up to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And especially in 2018, it must have been a totally different platform from what it is now. But like, they really quickly try to evolve and like add new things. I totally agree. There's like so much that you can do where you don't necessarily have to use it all from the start, but it gives you the option as you grow to be able to expand and do more and more and more. Like, I personally have so much to do still in my account. Like, it always falls to the wayside because I work on my client account first. And then
I always say do as I say, not as I do.
Yes. Like there's always more I could be doing and making it better and better and better.
Yeah, I have like, you know, a long list of like things that I need to do to improve my own workflows and like what I like about the automation and like what I want to tweak. And then I'm like, but I'm going to focus on you guys and like, I'll get back to mine. And it's just all the back end of my business is a mess, but right. I just like run it for everybody else.
It's so true. It's easier also to do it for somebody else. I think when you're trying to do it for yourself, you get so sidetracked of like, oh, what about this thing or this thing or this thing? Or you like, you just can't see the bigger picture of like, no, this is all the same workflow. We're all going through the same process. So I always find it easier to tell my clients that or see that versus like when I sit down, it's just a mess.
Right. Like auditing your own systems versus auditing somebody else's is so much more complicated. It seems like, cause it's
so true.
Like, you know, we talked a lot about at the conference, like in your own echo chamber and like, you're like in your own head. So you're like, oh, this can't be any different. Like this is a funny example, but, Allie, the co-founder, she, did a brand analysis for me after the conference. And on my website, I have like, so Cassie Lane is my brand. And then I have Kaylane Solutions and I have Cassie Lane Photography. So Cassie Lane Photography is mostly wedding photography, but there's like branding and portraits in there too. So on my website, Cassie Lane is the brand. And then I try to break down like each step of those things. But most of that is Kaylane Solutions, like this podcast. You know, I have an Etsy shop that sells Depsato stuff. And then at the end, it's like, looking ready to book your wedding photographer. And Allie was like, why is that there? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was just like so deep into it that I like hadn't realized like how wild it was that I just had this like random like wedding photography thing on there.
Right. So you just don't even notice it because it's just like background noise to you.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, well, everybody knows. And she's like, no, you know, like nobody else knows that those are the same people.
Even. Right. Exactly.
So you said you chose to be a virtual assistant. How did you come to that decision? I know a little bit because I had you fill out a Depsato questionnaire that your family owned a rentals company for a long time. So like, were you helping in the business? I'm very curious about like how you got here.
Yeah. So first I'll start with my parents. So they had a party rental business when I was growing up, and that also just sort of evolved over time where they started with like the moon bounces, jumpy houses. And then it was like, oh, well, we can also do like tables and chairs and then tents and linens and then dishes. And it just like became like the all encompassing thing that you would need for like a big wedding or a big event or party. So over time, I think they would have liked it if we could have stepped up and taken on more. But my sister and I were just very much like, no, that's not really our thing. Like, you guys go for it. And then they got to a point where it was just like, that's a lot of manual labor and a lot of like trying to keep up with stuff. And they never actually invested in a system. They were doing all of that by themselves. Like, I was watching them handwrite contracts, like put them in the scanner, print it out, mail it. Like, I just don't know how my mom kept track of all of that, like while the phone's ringing and she's getting emails and all that stuff.
And like, she's like taking care of kids and like, oh my gosh.
It's wild. Like, so it was nuts, which was great that they were super successful, but they never had that like system in place.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I went on to be a teacher. I was a second grade teacher for about 7 years. And then when COVID happened, I got that taste of like working from my computer, being a little more flexible, being able to do what I wanted during the day, like in the morning, and not be like rushing out the door, trying to make my lunch, like fit in a workout somewhere, like all of that stuff. So then I was like, all right, I need an exit plan. Like, I want more for my life. I knew we wanted to have kids at the time, like sometime in the next few years. That was like 3 or 4 years ago now. So I was like, okay, so let's try to make a plan, you know, what's next. Mm-hmm. And so I was like searching high and low. I was applying to a million jobs, but of course in the middle of COVID, everybody's sort of doing that. I wasn't even getting replies. Like, there was nothing moving forward. I feel like that was probably the universe like directing me where I needed to go. But I ended up finding this virtual assistant course and I was like, all right, I'm going to go for it. Like, let's see what happens. I took the course and I sort of planned for like 6 months to a year to get out of teaching. I did one more like remote year that must have been 2021. And then I started that summer. Like, I was like, all right, August 1st is that start date. Here we go. And I had my first client booked to that first.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that August 1st date. And I was like, all right, here we are.
So at that point, did you feel like like your systems were good? Like, how were you doing your client outreach? Like, how was that working? Like, going from like a pretty, I don't want to like, just like a pretty well-known space in teaching. Like, this is when we start, these are our lesson plans. And like, now you took a course in virtual assistants and you're like, I'm changing all of it. Like, how did you feel like booking that first client? Like, did the process work right away? Or like, were you tweaking a lot?
Oh my gosh, Cassie, I was terrified. I did not sleep for like, I think it was like 2 months. I didn't sleep for like, cause I was just like almost letting go of a paycheck, right? That you're like,
yeah,
this feels stable. At least I know what I'm getting. I know I've worked so hard to get here. You know, all of those like crazy thoughts that right. You just have to be like, okay, you know, my body's keeping me safe. Like, I know that's what it's right. trying to do right now. But the next step I have to sort of like just go for it and see what happens.
Right.
So, I was just like, I didn't really tell anybody. I kind of kept it to myself and kept working on it in the background. And then to answer your earlier question to how I was finding clients was Facebook and the courses I was taking. They had connections to people who were like saying, hey, I'm looking for people. I need people to apply for this job. And they were then connecting us with the correct
people. So it was almost like a hiring situation too. So like after you took the job, you got leads.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel like in the virtual assistant space? Like, were you like, this is it? Or were you like, oh, I don't love this. Like, how was it? Like, cause you've evolved a lot. Like, I know a lot more about your business than everybody listening. Because I've heard a lot about it. So how did you, I know that you serve wedding pros, like tell me that path, like how that happened.
Yeah. So at the same time, I was also planning a wedding. So we were like sort of in the wedding space because we were going through all of those changes. You know, we had already had everything.
You're reaching out to vendors and you're like, I actually don't like how you're communicating right? with me.
Like, I see what's happening, but like, it was kind of true because there were some people, it was like, I could not find our contract to save my life, but I needed that so badly because we had to like change dates and what were their policies and everyone had all these different things happening. So I was like, you know what? I'm already in this wedding world. I'm just going to sort of lean into that because I'm already here and see how that goes. Because I was spinning my wheels forever. Like, who am I going to work with? Who am I going to work with? What am I going to do? Yeah. And it was like, all right, let's just offer admin services and sort of see what happens. So I started out working with a wedding planner who just kind of was like, I need help. I don't really know what I need help with. I need you to come in and just like start to get things done.
Yeah.
And so that was, she just like, was like, all right, I trust you. Let's go and let's try it. And it, you know, I was with her for a while, like probably 6 to 8 months. So, you know, we just kind of like got the ball rolling and I was just doing anything and everything under the sun she needed help with. But one of the big projects was Dubsado. She was trying to set up. So I spent a lot of time like learning it on my own and then like testing it out in her account, seeing what she thought, but it gave me good practice to see that how to work with clients is a lot different than how you're doing it for yourself and like the information that I need to gather.
Yeah. So whenever you started working for her, did she already have Dubsado or did you like talk her into Dubsado?
No, she was looking into it at the same time. So she was like, I know I want this. I have it, but I don't really know how to use it. And then we were spending forever trying to get that proposal design correct, like trying somehow to figure it out. It's just funny to look back on now.
So I want to hear more. So you're really good at proposal designing. Are you self-taught?
I am. Yes.
And no design background.
Nope. And this is, I think, where I'm like most proud of myself because my design was like literally zero at the start. And I feel like I always have more room to grow and improve, but I'm starting to feel more and more confident in that piece.
I mean, girl, I see your Instagram stories and like, you're killing it. I'm like, I want to be able to make my proposals look like that. Like, because I can make them very thorough and I can make them like thoughtful, but your design like looks like magazine worthy. And I'm very
interested in that. So
I will say that, like, I want you to teach me how to do that.
I can teach you. I'm already thinking.
I want to be able to customize them for, you know, any entrepreneur that comes to me, like, this makes sense for you.
Yeah.
I have like a creative eye and I'm confident in that, but right now, combining my creative eye and the thoroughness of like the proposals and the questionnaires and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just need those to marry. Mm-hmm. And feels like right now that's kind of, we spoke a little bit offline before this, but that transition period that I'm in right now is like, mm-hmm. that's the piece that I like really want to hone in on, because yeah. I think that like the presentation is so much better that mm-hmm. way. And it's so much easier to sell. Mm-hmm. Like I can make your experience look like this.
Right.
So how did, were you literally like watching YouTube videos and Dubsado.com videos?
Yes. All of the above. Yeah. I was like, I have a few communities that I'm in that are like Dubsado based, and like, they'll ask questions and I'll just like sort of pick up on something from there. But I think the sort of like full circle moment, at least at the time right now, is the first client that I had, she had purchased the Allison Louise like coded forms, and mm-hmm. she wanted me to implement that. And at the time I was like, I have literally zero background on coding like at yeah. all. So she was like, it's fine, you know, do what you can. Like, let's just see what we can work. She's like, I don't know how to do it either. So let's just see what we can figure out. And I started like dabbling in it and seeing, and I was just like, I have literally no clue. Like, this is not going to work. I did what I could, but I was doing a lot of it in Canva and then transferring it over to Dubsado, which is fine. It works, but it's also very time consuming when you have to make a change or an update, because you have to right. go and download the image and re-upload. So I do see a lot of people who really struggle with this proposal design, because it's really hard. It's not straightforward in Dubsado to figure out like where things need to go to make it look good, and like mobile friendly. So now it's like, you know, fast forward almost 3 years, it's like, okay, this is now where I feel like my headspace is, that I have the ability to learn this code now to be able to really take the design to the next level. If you haven't looked into it before, it's really cool. There's a lot you can do with it.
I've looked into it a little bit, but I think I'm at the point that you're describing of just like, this feels overwhelming. Yeah. Like, I don't know. So, but you do, every time I see your Instagram, I'm like, I gotta get on that. So you service wedding pros. Do you think that that's like where you'll stay? Like, do you love that? Do you see that being your people forever?
Oh my gosh. Ever since the conference, my head has been like spinning, and I am like constantly turning my wheels of trying to figure out what's next. I don't think that's forever. I think leaning more into the service-based businesses, similar to what you do, like, it excites me to expand it to more like interior designers or like private mm-hmm. chefs or people who do like
private chefs. I love that.
Right. That make like, they have like really high end, like luxury experiences that Dubsado can really cater towards. Yeah. So I'd love to move more into that space, or like brand designers, website designers, things like that. Yeah. But I'm trying to not like just impulsively do that yet, because I know that's where I'm headed, but I'm trying to sort of like figure out exactly what I want to do and really make that messaging more clear.
Right. And we have talked a lot about Dubsado, but you also have your Pinterest and your blogging, which mm-hmm. you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And like, that's kind of like the fun part. I mean, you enjoy Dubsado too, but like, you're mm-hmm. not, you don't want to walk away from that either. So what's the balance there? Do you have like, I'm taking this many clients for this or that many, like, how do you decipher?
Yeah. So I actually learned from another service provider. I don't know if you know Ava and the Bee, but she's like awesome in the wedding world. Adriana, she taught in her course that what she does is she writes all of her blogs in the first week of the month. So I was like, oh, that's genius, because otherwise you're like scattered throughout, and like, when are questionnaires due and all that sort of stuff. So right now, let's say it's, you know, May 25th. All my client questionnaires are due that day. So I need to gather all of their images and outline of the blog that they want written. Now, this week, I take everything and write it for them in their website. And then I can say, okay, it's ready for review. Let me know your revisions or updates. And then we're all set for the month. So that gives me time then to work on Dubsado projects the last 3 weeks.
You have like 3 weeks of the month to do all of that.
Right. So that balance has been like life-changing, because that makes it feel way more feasible. And then people have to be on time with their stuff. Like, it just backs everything up.
Gives them the timeline and consistency and structure, which is what they're hiring you for. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what they need. They need somebody to walk them through that. So, do you, whenever you're writing the blog posts, are you also implementing Pinterest into that, or are they separate clients? Like, what is that balance?
So I've learned Pinterest is really an add-on to the blogging. So if I'm not doing your blogs, I really can't do your Pinterest.
Yeah, it feels like it has to be like blogging plus Pinterest, but is it always, or some people just have you do blog?
I started out offering it as a standalone service, but then I learned very quickly they weren't going to get the results, or they would say like, I promise I'm going to blog. And then of course they never do. Like they just don't have time for it. So then I have nothing to pin. We have nothing to pull from. So I'm just like uploading images, and that's not going to give them any sort of like traffic or results that we want. So I've learned that it really needs to go together. So right now it's an add-on to my blogging clients. And then, like I said, we have to have that like backlog of blogs up and running first, so that then we have like plenty of content to pull on Pinterest throughout the whole month.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So for your clients, do you give them like reports like to show them this is working, this is not? Like, how do you evaluate yourself with your clients?
Yeah, this is something that as I've packaged these things and sort of moved on to like that next level of not just like getting it done, but being like, no, this is like the full on management and service, is having that monthly report. So I now have a Google sheet that gets shared with like the Google Analytics and the Pinterest Analytics, if that's something they've added on, to say like which blogs are doing really well, like what's doing well on Google. So we can sort of get an overall picture of like not only growth, but what's working and what isn't, and where we may need to make improvements.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I feel like that's probably like, because everybody, they have to understand the value. And then, and for me on my side, I think I was just, and I've said this to you offline, but I was marketing to the wrong people, and they were never really looking for the value in the first place. They were just looking for the job to be done. Mm-hmm. So, trying to reevaluate what I need from that, and like understanding like somebody who really can like look at a Google sheet and like look at the analytics and like really see that, like to like respect the value that I'm bringing to the table, I think is like a super important piece. Mm-hmm. So, I think that they must be so receptive of that.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, I don't know if you found this 2 years ago, but people were never asking for that. They were just kind of like, yeah, great, you've got it done, I can see the analytics, no problem. And now they are really wanting to see that like return on investment. And
yeah, I mean, in this economy, of course, they want to see the return on investment.
Like, you hate to say it, but it's true. And like, I don't blame them. I get it. Like,
no. Yeah. And that's, so I, like, that's another piece that I want to implement into, you know, my back end business that needs to be refined, is like scheduling it out so that I'm sending them like, hey, this is what was working, this is what's not. Mm-hmm. And then I do a little bit more like social media stuff too. And for a long time I was like 5 days a week, like hammer through trends. And I've really backed off of that. And, I think it's like there is such thing as overconsumption in social, and especially in the last few years of like chasing the viralability of it all, and just like how toxic that is, like for your mental health and like for your business. And my analogy that I give to my clients is, you know, if you have 500,000 people looking at your video, maybe 5 of them actually want your services or like whatever you're selling. So like, I would rather have 10 people, 20 people who all want you versus 500,000 who like you just happen to use an audio that was going viral.
Exactly.
So trying to translate that is hard, I have found, because people do see such like fast success sometimes. And like, they're like, well, why didn't mine go viral? Like, why am I only getting 300 views? And I'm like, 300 views, put 300 people in a room.
That's huge.
A lot of people. That's a big deal. And like, I would rather have lower numbers and know that I'm talking to the right audience. So I,
absolutely,
as far as like showing the results, I think it's so important. And then on the Dubsado side, that's so easy to show because they gain so much time. Like, as soon as you implement, you're like, oh, look at, you can actually do what you like to do.
Right.
Like, you don't have to say, to like write the same email 30,000 times
right
a week.
Or write a contract every 5 minutes with their name, like, and their wedding date and this and like, that
like what, like you don't have to like use a PDF in an email. What are we doing?
Download, upload, this whole thing.
Exactly. Like, it just saves so much time.
So true.
I am very fascinated, again, I told you I was going to pick your brain, right now I have my packages built out so that you get 1 month with me post implementation to like teach you. But you automated that. And you, on your end, you have it, you call it offboarding, which makes so much sense. And you teach them how to use their own system. Is that all automated emails? Tell me more about this.
Yeah, this is the part I struggle with too, because I, it's personal and it's really like about the business owner learning their own system versus being like, hey, watch 100 Dubsado videos, right? Sure. So I do have the like one-on-one offboarding call. I really like play around with this to say like, should it be recorded? And then we meet and talk about it so that they have like the full overview. Because sometimes we get into the weeds on the call and then we don't actually get through everything that I want to get through because there's just so much to cover. So anyway, I kind of toy around with that. But after that, yes, I have like an offboarding guide that sort of says, okay, here are how we're going to lay out our 30 days. Here's what you need to do. So a lot of the people who are brand new really need that like background information and need to just play around in Dubsado, where some people might be more ready to sort of like jump in the middle and just start testing and pick it up. But I have a series of emails that go out after like 1 week post that call that say, hey, are you doing X, Y, and Z? And then like maybe 5 days later, it says, all right, checking in, have you done X, Y, and Z, so that they're not forgetting to ask for help and they're actually using the resources that I have provided. Because it's so easy to just like get that call done and then forget about it and then never actually learn it. And I really don't want people to not have their systems.
Yeah, that's, it's just really smart to do it that way, because what I do is I do a really long call. Like I block out like 3 hours for a call.
And what you need.
And, yeah. And we test it out. So they are their own client and I am the computer. So I'm like pushing the steps through so they can see like how it shows up in their inbox and how it shows up in the client's inbox. And we, you know, that's, and we're tweaking. Like I had a client that didn't like to say thanks. She wanted to say thank you. And it's like stuff like that. Cause I've written all the canned emails. I've done all the things, right? So we're like really getting into the nitty gritty. But then I do feel like, And I'm okay with that, but I at the end of that, it's still so new for them, and it's like such a different system. Like especially when they were completely manual prior,
right?
That I want that bow at the end. I want them to have like, hey, I know we talked about this. Have you tried it? Because honestly, like not to be like a little selfish, but we put a lot of work into these workflows and a lot of like work into putting these into place. And if they don't know how to use them, I question sometimes, I'm like, have you embedded the form on your website? Like to just get started, like, are we there yet?
Let's go. And I hate to see people like invest so much in that and then not actually use it.
Right. So I want to see all of my hard work work and I want them to feel the benefits of that. Like the return on investment. Like, so I was very curious how you built that out. Have you found, and I've been recently been asked this, people have been asking me if they can onboard me for Dubsado management, where I'm handling their inquiry calls and, or their, not their calls, but their inquiries. And, do you find that to be happening on your side? That's new for me. Like
But I feel like this is something I've also been toying with. Like, is it better to have like a Facebook group where these people have access to me and also hear each other's questions so that they can keep learning and seeing what other people are doing? I haven't taken that piece on because it feels like a lot or a little overwhelming to be like in their system and always keeping up with their leads. The thing I will say though, is I feel like I've also been better about educating people on that first call. And really I can tell usually if they're ready to jump into Dubsado or not and sort of outlining for them, like, here's who this is going to work for. And like, here's who this is not going to work for. Like, not to say that like a brand new business owner isn't ready for that. Cause like I said, I jumped in, I didn't know what I was doing and I figured it out. But I feel like once you're, if you're ready to invest in someone setting it up for you, like you have to know exactly what you want to happen in your business and not be trying to like fumble through that and then be like, okay, how does it work? Like, just tell me how it works. I'm willing to put the effort in to learn. But yeah, it's interesting. Cause I feel like it could, there's a lot of people who could also benefit from just having you there to help them.
Yeah. And I think, so the clients that I'm getting, they're scaling, right? So they're having, they're onboarding clients while we're implementing a system. Mm-hmm. And we're not hooking up Dubsado. Like, yeah. I'm doing it. I'm like, so then they get to a point and they're like, okay, I want my current clients to be on this workflow at the point that they're at.
Yep.
How do I put them all in? And I mean, yeah. these are people who have like 80, 90,
right.
you know, clients, and they're like, oh, so I have to like manual. I'm like, yeah. So now I'm trying, like, the piece that I'm trying to play out as far as like package wise is like, mm-hmm. do I offer an add-on that tells them that I will catch them up?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's what, like, I have found like multiple clients just feeling overwhelmed by like, okay, now I have this beautiful system. I know that it works exactly, and I want it to work exactly mm-hmm. like this, but I have all these people that were already here.
Right.
And like, and how we do need I to get know. Them? Yeah. Like, we need to catch up.
Yeah. I feel like you absolutely could. Dubsado used to do that for free. They used to have,
they had like white glove service.
I know. And then they were like, no, no more.
I know. They, when I signed up, they imported everything from HoneyBook over to Dubsado.
So nice.
And it was one time. It was so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they'll bring it back eventually, but I think the infrastructure just isn't there. But I feel like you absolutely could package that to say, like, I'll do your first like 30 clients, and then plus that is like this package, like 30 to 60 or like 60 plus. Because you're right, it's not the same as doing like 80 clients versus like four, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Well, and you know, in Dubsado, you get like your first three free. So I'm like,
right.
just put them in there, you'll be fine. But when people have like a very, and that's, those are my people. Like, that's, I'm going to, I know as I continue to like refine my copy and like find my mm-hmm. correct client
yeah.
that like, it's going to be these same issues where the reason they're hiring me is because they're getting too busy
right.
to do the manual stuff anymore.
Right.
So
exactly. Yep.
Just like trying to solve that problem for them is important to me.
I feel like that's a good add-on too, because it's, some of that's just like a one-time service where once it's there, you're like, great, now my automations are working for me. But it's like, just get everything in is very time consuming up front.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So switch gears and talk about like social fun stuff. On the Mastermind Mixer, we always talk about our favorite drink. So tell me what your favorite, you actually said this in your questionnaire and I don't know what it is. Like, I'm like, what, you got to tell me all the details.
Okay. So if I was like going to a wedding or having a cocktail or something like that, I would always get the Cape Codder, the cranberry and vodka with a little seltzer in it. But lately I've been going with the Whispering Angel Rosé, and I usually am like, ugh, like rosé is gross. Like, it's so sweet. And this one is so good. Like, it's
Isn't
not
it really good?
Sweet. It's like sort of like a white wine rosé. It's really good.
Okay. No bubbles or bubbles?
No bubbles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try it. I love a rosé all day in the summer.
Yes.
Like, I get done with rosé in the summertime.
So good.
So I'm going to have to try that for sure.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. And I'm so happy you're here. I actually, for everybody listening, I messaged her after the conference and I was like, we should like talk a lot.
We need to talk more.
We need like an ongoing text thread, and we need to like have office hours or something, because I do think that we are dealing with a lot of the same clients and a lot of the same things, and also not doing it for ourselves, which is like a huge problem.
We need to like do each other's Dubsado accounts. Cause,
oh my gosh, that's so smart. That's so
really
smart. Okay, it's happening. It's happening. Like, sign me up. Like,
please take care of it for me.
Exactly. And I love that, like, I am a wedding professional, so I can help you because I see it from the other side.
Absolutely.
And then, like, you're the entrepreneur that can, like, see it from my side. Like, okay, we're on to something with this, and it's going to be great.
I love it.
Yes. Everybody will know this when it comes out, but you're going to be my first episode of season 4 too.
Yay.
So when it goes live, it'll be like the two Dubsado pros like talking it out, which I love.
It.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.
Good.
If you need anything in the meantime, please reach out. And then I want you to share, which they'll be in the show notes too, but let's talk about, like, tell us one more time who your ideal client is, and then maybe some like links to find you on social and like all the things.
Perfect. Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at kellymccracken.co. My website URL is also the same, kellymccracken.co. But I would love to help you if you're a wedding professional of any kind, from a bridal seamstress to a charcuterie board person to a wedding photographer, all of the people under the sun who are in the wedding world. I help with their Dubsado accounts, blogging, or Pinterest. I do have a freebie that I think we could link that will help you get your initial inquiry workflow up and running in Dubsado. I tell you all the parts that you have to create in order to implement that very first workflow. So I'm sure Cassie will link that for you. So absolutely, you can download that freebie. But yeah, I'd love to connect. My DMs are always open. And thank you so much, Cassie, for having me on.
Yeah, I will link it in my bio, and then I will also download it and use it myself.
Amazing. We're learning. We're learning from each other.
Exactly. We'll talk soon. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Well, you've reached the end of another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. I genuinely hope you enjoyed it and maybe even found a nugget or two of wisdom. If you did, I'd be thrilled if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It's like putting gasoline in my podcast tank. And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And guess what? The show notes are not just a place where words hang out. They're like the VIP section. And there you might find a little surprise, the kind that pairs well with headphones and your favorite podcast. It's the paired drink for the episode. Thanks a million for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay subscribed. Cheers.